That's as fast as I get. Been around a long time. And I thank the Lord that He allowed me to be around as long as I have. And I'm looking forward to every day, just one day at a time. That's what I'm looking for, is one day at a time. I thank everybody for coming down to our conference this year, and it really means a lot to me that we can get together and open the Word of God and look at it, kind of take it apart a little bit and see where we are as knowledge goes in the Word of God concerning the plan and purpose of God for the ages. You know, I went to church for a long time and I didn't realize and I didn't understand. No one had ever told me that God had a plan and purpose. You know, I thought it was just kind of being made up as we went along. That's pretty much what I got out of religion when I went to church as a young man. This was a situation that I kind of thought that, well, maybe God's making it up as He goes along. He'd have the ability to do that. And I certainly didn't question that too much. And I did that for about 33 years. And Brother Larry came along, and I was in a little church over here about a mile and a half from here at Wolfstake. And as I told you before and as I told you in the introduction, I'm not very far away from home, because I was born to cross the road, and I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to Wolf State Church when that took place in 1971, but basically I come to believe the Lord in an old 61 Ford, 62 Ford Falcon, coming down the road from Walhalla one afternoon from a softball game. And the Spirit was working on me greatly. And I had already heard and I had already said within myself that what I'm hearing now, I truly believe that. And it's something that I had waited on to hear all of my life, because I had basically went to church all of my life. And as I listened to Brother Larry when he came to Wolfstake, and as I think back now, I realize, and I come to the conclusion in my own mind as to how he could get away with what he was teaching in a Baptist church. And he did it quite well. And we had an old lady that went to church there, and her name was Elizabeth White. And we called her Granny White. And after Larry left and a few years passed, I would go by Granny White's house to see how she was doing, because I was in business for myself. And it wasn't much business, but I made a kind of a living at it, I guess. But I'd stop by Granny White's occasionally to see how she was doing, because her family and our family were good friends. And her husband had been dead many years. And I'd stop and go in, and she'd be sitting there reading the Bible, and I'd say, "How you doing, Granny White?" "I'm doing good," said that. "We get on in a discussion of some kind." And I said, "Well, you know what Brother Larry said about so-and-so?" And she said, "Yeah, I know. "He was the best preacher I ever heard, but," said, "I just couldn't agree with what he had to say." And she never did come to the understanding of the truth of the mystery of the body of Christ. And someone that was about 45 or 50 years older than you were, I felt like at that time that I didn't have the qualifications to tell her or to explain that to her. But now I wish I had that time again. If I had the time again, it might be a little easier to do. And it certainly would be a great opportunity, but we, as it's been stated already, we only go through this life one time. We have one chance at it. And if we don't do what we need to do at that chance, then it doesn't come around again. I've lived long enough to understand that. When I started to think about something to talk about today, two or three things came to my mind. And one thing has been all brought out quite clearly already. But the thing that I really wanted to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning, or this afternoon, by the way, I don't get up very early in the morning since I retired, so I keep thinking it's morning for me, you know. So I have that problem a little bit. But I am amazed, and always have been amazed, at a certain thing that I see in Scripture. And I'm amazed at the way that God has communicated with His creation down through time. And sometimes we don't stop to think about this, but you know, communications is something that's acquired. You know, we're born with five senses. We can see, we can hear, we can taste, we can smell, and we can touch. That's what our instincts are that we're given when we're born. Speaking comes as something that you acquire. The communications is something that we acquire. We do it one with the other. Sometimes people are born deaf and can't hear, and they do all these sign things. And that's certainly communications too. Brother Larry and his family know something about that, because he has a daughter that can't hear. But we realize that God has given to us His Word, and this is the way that He communicates to us. Now, it's the speaking sometimes that gets us in trouble quite often, because the things that come out of our mouth generally originates within our heart. You see. And if it originates in there, it normally comes forth. And that's what gets us into trouble sometimes. It gives us differing opinions one with the other. And Satan also uses it too as a means of further corrupting this age in which we live. You can turn on your media and you can find almost anything and everything. And Brother Jack, he opened up that little piece of paper showing that where all this pornography is, what the money is being spent on that was not really news. I mean, I could believe that for sure. Because a lot of the music that's even on TV now, I think they call it rap, but it's pornography by a beat, with a beat. That's what it really amounts to. It's pornography with a beat. And so I believe Brother Jack was straight on with that. But I'm amazed at the fact that God, when He started creating, He laid out the stars out there, and He put them there for a purpose, and He put them there for a reason. And He put them there for signs and for seasons. You've got 12 signs, you've got 36 constellations laying out there in the heavens, and those heavens were to tell the handiwork of God, was to show and to communicate to His people. The way I understand it, He was communicating with His creation, and He put His plan and His purpose in the star. Before He ever created man, He already had him out there. So He had him out there before Adam ever came along. So you see, even before He ever created, the Son of God looked at His body, and He knew, He foreknew who was going to be in that body, just like He foreknew what the plan was for His purpose, for Him, for this creation, this new creation that He was going to create again. Or better called, I think, the recreation. Because evidently something had been here before then. And the earth had become waste and void. But before He created man, He put the plan and the purpose in the stars so that the enemy would know, or could know, what was going to take place. And you know, mankind, we've designed a lot of games and we've designed a lot of things for our pleasure and for other things, and normally the things that we amuse ourselves with, we try to keep a secret. The way the game is played, or we're going to try to keep our part of the game a secret. But you know, for mankind in general, God didn't do that. He put the plan and purpose up there before the game ever started. And that's awesome. To use your word, that's really awesome. I got to thinking about this thing, and I said, well, who does that? Except God. And He could certainly do it. Because He has the power to do it. But you see, when He created Adam, He created Adam a high man. He was God's man. Adam was God's man. But then Adam fell under the auspices of sin, and Adam became a low man in those terms. If you ever looked at, Psalms 49, I was afraid last night that that Arcus was going to get my thunder here, but he didn't. But you see, God placed in this message of the stars, He put up there that He was going to send a Redeemer. Okay, you got a warfare going on at the time that the earth was without form and void. There had already been a warfare going on between Satan and between God. Well, here's God putting His plan in progress in the stars before He ever makes mankind. That doesn't seem to be too smart, me. But that goes to show you how much I know. Who would do such a thing?
God could do such a thing. Because he could. And he did. And in that stars, and in that elliptic, I think is in that orbit or the travel in which the earth goes, in the stars, you know, this thing was written in three books. And it was written to where they were 12 constellations and 4 signs to each book. And in the year, the earth travels through all of these books. And so there's nowhere in the earth that you can go that this message cannot be seen and this message cannot be known within that year's travel of the earth traveling its orbit. You know, Brother Oscar did a study on that, and we've got the,
Working on it right now.
Working on it now. I heard that for 10 years. I was supposed to be working on it too, so I, you know, if I point at you, I got to point back at me. But, Brother Oscar did a study on it, and Ronnie's going to try to get it on something where we can see it and understand it. We did a study on that a few years ago at home, and we really didn't do it justice, but we went through it anyway. But that gives you an understanding a little bit of what God did in the way of communications, because he put all this into force before he ever made Adam, the way I understand it. And then he went back and he created man, and then he created woman, and they got into a little trouble, I hear. And because of that, we inherit that sinfulness that they found themselves in when God placed them under the curse. And so by nature, and from Adam, we have this sinful position and sinful disposition, if you will. And so it is against God and what God stands for. And as we're born, even before we get to the point to where we can involve ourselves with it, we're already there by the nature that we find ourselves to be in, born that way. And so that's Satan's gift to us in those terms, that we inherited something that was not supposed to be there, because man was made to worship God. And this was the reason that God made man. And so we find ourselves contrary to God in this thing as we grow up and as we come to a point in our life that we should be willing and that we should eagerly want to accept and to know our Maker and Creator. And we should be willing and wanting to receive the things that he has done for us since time began. Because you see, in the star deal, in the third book, it talked about a Redeemer. And it talked about the work of that Redeemer and what that Redeemer could do and would do. But yet we, being sinful individuals, we don't really believe that. Because we don't believe God, because we have had our minds and our eyes and our ears and our hearts blinded to the fact that the love of God supersedes anything else. And that's
That's what Satan, I think, doesn't want you to know and doesn't want us to realize. And so our eyes kind of get blinded, although we see, and this was Israel's problem all down from the time he called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldees until Christ came, the blindness and the deafness was upon those people because they didn't want to hear, and they didn't want to see, and they didn't want to believe, although they had all these things concerning God and concerning His Word. His priests, those people that spoke for Him, and God's prophets, He kept giving them these messages. And He gave them these messages and these things until we have this book that Brother Mike says we can pick up and put on our arm and carry around. And so this is what He has left us with concerning His Word and His communication, because the very first words in Psalms 50, I want you to read it with me. I know I told you to go to Psalms 49, but let's just start out with 50 and then we'll back up a little bit. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken. You know, when God speaks, He had a reason for doing so. He just didn't do it to hear Himself. God is not full of Himself. He doesn't have to be. Satan is kind of full of himself. And you know, Brother Mike was talking a while ago, and I was sitting there listening and thinking about this, and he was talking about Lucifer and Lucifer's pipes and how he was made and created, and he talked about he had this musical aspiration within him, and he certainly did. I think he was straight on, because if you go to Cain's posterity, if you go to Genesis 4, and you look at Genesis 4, and you look at Genesis 4:17, it talks about Cain's posterity, that they were the ones that had the harp and the organ. You see, this is where music comes from. It comes from Cain's lineage. Also the fact too, chemistry, if you will, because it talks about things of brass. I don't know how many of you have worked in a machine shop or ever been around a machine shop with brass. You can't find it in its real form, because brass is a combination of things. And you see, so brass is a compound, and it's a compound of different things that make up brass. And Cain's posterity came up with that, according to the Word of God. So you see, there's many things that we can go back and glean from this that Brother Mike is kind of right on. Because I think in some places where it was talking about that, it was said that you're the father of the devil. And if that be the case, then these things can certainly be passed down. And we realize that blindness kind of sets in with all of us as we take things for granted. And sometimes we should see things and we don't see them. And if there's one thing I ever learned from Brother Larry, was to keep your eyes open and your ears open, because there's a lot to be learned from that. And to go back to Genesis 49, it goes back and it talks about the Redeemer there. It was necessary that a Redeemer come. And it was already written in the stars, but it was also talked about it about 3,500 years later. It was given to this writer of Psalms 49, speaking of things concerning the Redeemer. And how limited we are
as individuals and how great God is, or how great God's Son was, even after he had laid his glory aside. Because when he came here as man, he had laid that glory aside that he had when he did this creation of the stars, and when he made Adam, and when he made all these things that were made that we see. Because all things were made by him and for him. And by them, by him they consist, or have their being. And so, we realize that we need a point to right the ship again, because the ship is kind of listing over. When we get to the 49th chapter of Psalms, it seems like, even though it was written some 500 or 600 years before Christ came, it almost seems like it was written for yesterday, or even today, or maybe tomorrow, in a sense. So let's look at it for a minute and see what we can find concerning that aspect of God's Word. Read with me Psalms 49, page 767. I like to give the page number too, because I think most of us have companion Bibles, and if you don't, you'll have to look it up for yourself. But Psalms isn't very hard to find. It says, "Hear this, all you people. Give an ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the heart. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give a ransom for it. For the redemption of their souls is precious, and it ceases forever, that he should still live forever and not seek corruption. For he seeth that the wise man die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thoughts is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations. They call their land after their own name." This was also started by Cain. Cain's group was the first group that started naming their land after themselves. Okay? If you don't believe it, don't believe what I say, but go back to the Word of God and look for it. "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the way, this their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approves their saying." Selah. "Like sheep they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling." But, you know, isn't "but" a great word? Sure is. But, you know, you could say "but now." You know, Paul used "but now" quite a lot, because it was put there for a contrast of things that passed, things that come forth. And
we kind of have that word in this, in the Psalms of this word, Selah, because you need to stop and consider what's said, think on it, and put it together the way that God meant for it to be put together. But God will redeem my soul, and I kind of scratched that out and put me, he's talking about his son. God will redeem his son from the power of hell, the grave, Sheol. For he shall receive me, Selah. But be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him, though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generations of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. Man can be an honorable person, but if he doesn't understand the need for a redeemer, there's not much hope for it. This is how Satan blinds us. Because he says, you're all right within yourself. You're okay, boy. You're right where you're supposed to be. I was talking years ago about getting out and testifying to those that sit on the stools in the beer joint. Well, they're somewhere like that, one of the bars around, you know, and Brother Larry pointed out to us, well, that's exactly where they're supposed to be. Because a man usually is where he wants to be. If he wants to be somewhere bad enough, he'll be there. And in general terms, he'll be there. And so if Satan blinds us to the point, it gives us miscommunication to the point of where we cannot believe and where we cannot understand God's word, and we're in a heap of trouble. But you see, when the Holy Spirit starts working within an individual and God starts calling and he realizes this, he gets to a point to where he can believe what God has said. I know a lot of people call it saved, or you can call it whatever you want to call it. When you get to a point to where you can believe God, then you can begin to understand what this word is, because before that time, it's just so many words. It's something that you can't understand. Discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guiding the mind. It's just like what's in your heart comes out your mouth. It works the same way. You see, God made all this, and it's got to work either one way or the other. I don't see a lot of middle ground here. I see the point that man needs this redemption that's talked about in 49. And if we go back to the fifth verse and we look at the fifth verse of 49, it says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass about me? I want you to look at something for me for a minute. I'll have to go to my notes because I can't remember anything. I might have not even wrote it down here. I might have. Let's see. Oh, Yeah, Hebrews 5. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 5. That's page 1830. I at least got that much of it now. You know, as you get older, you forget a lot of this stuff. And you got to make notes. If you don't make notes, I don't. I wouldn't know where to go. A friend of mine years ago had what I considered a photographic memory, and I always, of course, he's gone now. Brother Larry made reference to Brother Carl this morning, and boy, he could read something, and he could remember it forever. Seemed like when you talked to him 6 months later about something, oh yeah, he said that's in this chapter and verse. He knew exactly where it was, and I said, boy, I could punch you. I could really punch you one, because that's something that I just couldn't do. I never could, never have been able to do that. But when we talk about the days of evil of chapter 49, let's look at the fifth chapter and the fifth verse of Hebrews. And that kind of explains to us what this day of evil is. And if you go back and if you were to look at the notes on Psalms 49:5, you'd see where it says in Matthew 26, and Luke 22, and John 12, and then Hebrews. But Hebrews kind of sums up all of these others together in a nutshell concerning the Redeemer and the day of Christ. I mean, in the day that he was in the day of evil, it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but that he said unto himself, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. And as he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him. Now, if you go back and you look at these other verses of Scripture, you find that in the day of evil, that was in the day that Christ was being offered up. That was in the day that he was going to be sacrificed. Do you remember? He went out into the garden and he prayed and he cried. And he sweated. And he did all the things that a normal man does to try to get out and to try to get away from death. And that's nothing new, you know, to each of us. If we ever come to a point where it looks like death is going to overtake us, we try everything that we possibly can to get away from that. Although we have great promises, and although it's been brought forth in this meeting today that we have these great promises, yet what we have here today is really precious too. And that's not really our life. Because Brother Artis pointed it out a few months ago that what we have now is not truly our life. Our life is going to be when we appear with Him in glory. That's when our life starts. This is just a fleeting, passing glance of things that happen. But you see, when you read in Hebrews, you read and understand, and he says, when he prayed, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this pass from me. But nevertheless, he stood true to what he came to do. And he was going to give up the rest of what he had for me and you. Because you see, what had happened, he had already laid his glory aside.
And he came to us as man. Now he is going to finish emptying up himself. He is going to give everything that he has left as representative of man before God, and he's going to take that blood back. And he is going to pay the price for you and me, and he is going to redeem us with his blood, and it's going to be accepted by the Father as price paid for you and for me. And it's really tough to understand that when you're not a believer. It goes completely over your head. But he is going to finish emptying himself. He is going to the grave, but he's not going to stay there. Because 3 days and three nights in that grave, he came forth and he was received up into glory. And he paid that price, and he paid that price that you and I did not pay. Regardless of what we have, and regardless of what we get, we cannot get that much to pay even for our brother, much less for ourselves. But Christ made that full payment, because that's what redemption is. It's full payment. I had a lot more to go back and say about that, but when I look at my watch, you see, I'm not an old Baptist minister, so it means something when I look at my watch. I had to make that big, Brother Larry. You know, had to get one back at you. But now we've had the opportunity, and we've had the great privilege of the understanding of knowing God and knowing what he has done for us through this finished work. And knowing that, we've come to the realization that we have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And this basically came to us from the writings of the Apostle Paul in those seven books that we find there. And I like to go back and recite them again, because my feeble mind needs to think about them again. Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Philemon, and Titus. And, you know, when you talk to folks, and you talk to them especially concerning this mystery truth, and there were some things that God communicated. He communicated lots of stuff. This whole book is basically his communication to his people, but there were some things that he kept secret. Even though they were, in a sense, written, because, you see, Satan, even as great as he was, and I sat there and listened to Brother Mike talk about how he was created, and certainly I think before iniquity was found in him, that he was that, just that. It was a capstone creation, if you will. And I like to think of Lucifer as being the prime minister in that capacity. I think he was just that near to being like the Son of God. He was just the next step down. If you have rank and file and you have order, I think it was like a prime minister, say, in Great Britain. They have a king and a queen.
And they have a monarchy, and then they have the next guy's a prime minister down. And I certainly believe that he was just that he was that close. But he couldn't. And he didn't catch this thing, and he didn't see, and he didn't understand, because the same problem that he put on us through Adam, he kind of had that same disease himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't have killed the Son of Glory. You see, because by doing what he did, in acting in those terms the way he did, that in turn fell right into the plan and purpose of God's will. And so we see and know and realize that now. And, you know, and looking back is a little easier sometimes than looking forward. It's not that way in driving now. Don't get out there and get in your car and look in the rearview mirror and think you're going somewhere, because the perception's a little different, and you get in trouble right quick. But sometimes we got to look back in order to look forward, and this is the point that I wanted to make. Satan, you know, he played right into God's plan and purpose, which naturally was the way it was going to work out. And so we need to see, and we need to see and know that and understand that, I think, a little more fully, because Brother Jack, some of them said a while ago, said, well, maybe this talk, you know, don't need to be for this group. But yes, it does, because we need to continually remind ourselves what the price was that was paid, regardless. Even though we've been given the greatest gift and the greatest hope in the world, we continually need to remind ourselves that we're not worthy. And we've never been worthy. It's only by God's love that we have this, and by His good grace, that we have this thing. And so we look at after believing, or after coming to a point of belief, we look at these books that I just mentioned a little bit ago, and we can hear and we can see and we can believe the mysterion of God. And we can come to the point in them, in this age, or this dispensation, or whatever you want to call it, we can find several things that just kind of sticks out immediately to us. And I've used up all my time without getting into them, really. And I'm kind of like the mic. I thought I wouldn't have enough for one study, and I've got enough for two or three. But I look at Colossians 1:27, and I realize that I have a hope. I look at Philippians 3:10-14, and I find that I have a calling. I look at Ephesians 1:1-1:14, and I realize that I have an inheritance. And along with that, I look at Colossians 1:12-13, and I realize even more of that inheritance. And then I look at Ephesians 3:10, and I realize that I have a purpose in God's plan. And all this is in God's plan now. And I look at Ephesians 1:3, and I realize that Lord, He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What else could I ask for? Amen. Don't need anything else. Don't need riches on this world. I'm already rich. I'm a man in God. I'm an Ish. And then I have a placement. You know, everybody feels like they need a place. You know, you hear, I'm trying to find my place in life. Well, my place is Ephesians 2:6. And then our salvation is Ephesians 2:4 and 5. And our position was Ephesians 2:11 and 12. You were without God, aliens. You know, we tend to think about an alien as someone from outer space. No. If you're without God, you're an alien. And guess what? You're going to perish. Because, you know, to perish is the way I understand it, and the way that I look at perishing is, you know, coming up, John 3:16 was, you know, to perish is to go beyond the recall of God. It gets to a point to where he can't use you. You know, he doesn't know you. And if he doesn't know you, he's not going to call you. And, you know, Brother Mike and him said, well, we call each other. They call each other because they know each other. And if you don't know God, you can't really call him until he calls you. And once he calls you, then you can call him back. Because you got to get a number. You know? You got to get a number. And I like the but now in Ephesians 2:13, 14, and 15. But now. Now, I said all that, and this is very important stuff, and we haven't really leaned on this a whole lot in this study this week, or this year. But this is necessary stuff. And if you're dealing with another pastor somewhere, or you're talking with another pastor, or another leader of another place, besides those who are members of the body of Christ, ask him about his hope and his calling and his inheritance and his purpose and his blessing and his placement. Ask him about his salvation and his position. And he'll say, duh. A lot of times. You know, we're so blinded, and this doesn't have anything to do with the study. But we're so blinded, and I'll show you just how goofy sometimes we really are. I know most of us watch some television from time to time. Has anybody ever seen the Pepsi complete commercial where Uncle Ernie drops his phones? Has anybody seen that? Okay. They're in this restaurant. This guy's sitting over the table. He's waiting for Uncle Ernie to come over. Uncle Ernie's putting stuff on his plate. And he drops his tongue down that he's putting food on the plate with. He hasn't eaten anything yet. But man, he's got heartburn to die. You know, he's about to die with heartburn. And so the guy jumps up and he runs over and he's got this Pepsi complete. And he gives him this Pepsi complete for something, for an ailment that he really shouldn't have yet because he hadn't eaten anything. And we accept that commercial as being the truth because we never really stop to think about that he hasn't eaten anything yet, so he shouldn't have a heartburn. And that's kind of the way we are when we're lost. When we don't have Christ, we're incomplete, but the Redeemer has paid the price, and we can certainly be Redeemer complete. But we just take it sometime at face value that
these things that we see and hear are the truth, and we never stop to realize that we're being duped by a commercial, an advertisement to do just that, to sell you something. I'm not up here to sell you something. I am up here, hopefully, to tell you a little bit of the understanding that I have of our Lord Jesus Christ and His plan and purpose for the ages of which I am part of. Thank you.
Amen.